There is an effect in your brainwaves when you lock your attention on something. That lock is established by mindfulness. And then it can be continued in work, provided you only do one thing at a time, sequential unitasking. You can maintain this locking of your brainwaves onto the task at hand. That's called theta locking or theta phase coupling. So there's a real thing. You really want to get your brain to a certain point in mindfulness, and then you transfer it to the task and do it through each task step by step.
Before we get started, if you enjoy these episodes, you might want to explore more at optimalwork.com. Our website offers unique content, tools, and exercises to help you thrive at work and beyond. We have an in-depth masterclass which covers our entire theory of growth. We have daily recommendations for personalized advice, and we have a platform to help groups and organizations learn and practice optimal work together. You can get a free trial at optimalwork.com. Now let's get started with today's episode. Hey, this is Sharif here with another episode of the Optimal Work Podcast, joined by Dr. Kevin Majors. Kevin, good to be back here with you.
Hey, Sharif, great to be back.
Yeah, Kevin. Well, as you know, we recently changed the name of the podcast from the Golden Hour to the Optimal Work Podcast, and I thought it would be fitting that we do here an episode on the Golden Hour, the key practice of optimal work.
That it is fitting,
kind
exactly.
Kind of an homage.
The problem with the old title was that it wasn't that searchable.
Yeah, yeah.
And then people would look up Optimal Work Podcast and wouldn't find it. And then there's, because Golden Hour can mean many things, you know. So for photography or neurology, they'll have these Golden Hours.
Yeah.
So,
and there's a famous song called The Golden Hour, which we didn't want. We wanted people to listen to our podcast instead. So
yeah, instead of the song. So it was due.
Yeah.
But it's also perfect then that we discuss what is the Golden Hour since we got rid of the title.
Exactly.
We don't want people to forget the concept.
Exactly. Exactly. So, well, yeah, maybe we just start with that. What is a Golden Hour? I guess in my mind, it's just briefly an hour of work or a time of work. Doesn't have to be exactly an hour, where in advance of starting the work, of diving in, you deliberately prepare your mind to do your best work. That's kind of the essence of it. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right. So in that sense, it's any work that you deliberately shape in advance, but work with a definite time limit.
Okay, yeah. So that's a key part, that it has to have a time limit and that you're setting in advance. So how did this idea originally arise? Is it like a productivity tool? It helps you focus better, helps you get more done?
Mm-hmm. I think it goes back to that initial talk that I gave back in 2015. And that's when it clicked that the exact steps I was helping people do in exposure therapy for anxiety that would make the exposure therapy extremely effective were the same exact steps that prepare people to go into flow. So reframing, mindfulness, and challenge. And I thought of them as three gateways you have to go through. So the first, you have to make sure that you're viewing this task positively with the right frame. Then you have to bring your attention fully to the present moment. And then you need a stretch goal in that task. I think the idea of, like, in my mind initially of calling it an hour was just because I meant really anything up until 90 minutes. Because there's very good research that the human brain works on rhythms, and one of the rhythms is the ultradian rhythm. And that means that you get a 90-minute spurt of concerted activity with one focus. And then the brain needs to have a break. And then you can have then another 90-minute spurt. These are the same exact ultradian rhythms that happen in sleep and are called sleep cycles, where you have a 90-minute run and there's a little bit of in-between time and then another 90-minute run. And in between time and so on. So that's just how the brain typically works. And so that became this idea then of crafting up to a 90-minute period with one goal. So kind of one focus of how you want to be shaping yourself and your work in that time.
Now, I remember when I first heard about the Golden Hour, this was 2016 in July. And I remember at that time I had been out of college for a number of years and had started working, but I had not a great ability to focus. But I had this idea that I wanted to improve my ability to focus. And I had actually tried different things like mindfulness and working, doing certain types of tasks at different times of the day, like maybe in the morning I should do these tasks, in the afternoon I should do these tasks. So it was very nice when I learned about the Golden Hour and this idea of preparing your mind, reframing, mindfulness challenge, that you can enter flow at will. You can overcome these distractions or different types of obstacles you might face, procrastination, reluctance, anxiety. That was very refreshing for me, that there's a kind of behavioral solution to these problems that I can get better at with practice. I wonder if
that's a great point, that the practice that you get repeatedly by doing this throughout the day is so important, because it can really speed up your ability to grow in anything you're trying. So if you're wanting to overcome procrastination and then you're working on it deliberately, just once a day would be enough for real growth. But if you did it a few times a day, even more so. I think I remember, one of the things that struck you was seeing the Golden Hour as a channel for deliberate challenge. And that you had gotten very used to the idea that if you can set a definite challenge and really then use that challenge to galvanize all your effort, that's how you unlock the most growth. And then you try to repeat that a few times in the day. So, and I think that idea, so people who understand the importance of challenge to growth more naturally just pick up the Golden Hour method. And they see that the productivity boost you get, which is very real, is completely the side thing. That in a way, what we're most interested in is the growth that the person themselves are getting.
Before we continue, a brief message. If you're benefiting from these discussions, please hit like and subscribe to our channel. Doing so helps us reach more people. So you're not just learning yourself, you're helping others discover a path to growth and flourishing too. Thanks so much for your support. Enjoy the rest of the episode. Yeah, so there's a sense of, in this hour, I'm doing my best work and I'm overcoming any kind of obstacles to focus. So I'm really focusing. And then at the same time, that's transferring over to shape me so that I can be a better person in all these other areas of my life too. I can become, better at paying attention to other people. That's kind of more being directly practiced than, becoming more patient, becoming, and all these other qualities I can develop in the Golden Hour.
Yeah. And in fact, when you look at third wave behavioral therapies, the two big ones are called acceptance and commitment therapy, and then dialectical behavioral therapy. But they're basically the same thing. And one is that you have to have one foot in reality, accepting it as it is, and then another stepping forward and kind of stretching yourself, in toward the goal that you want to attain. So there is always a commitment. One element that is commitment to shaping yourself in some positive way, the challenge, the stretch. That's like the foot going up and over. The other is firmly planted on what is, and with totally acceptance of that. So with acceptance and commitment therapy, it's that you accept whatever the emotion is and then deliberately stretch yourself according to the ideal. And that is exactly the same in what's called dialectical behavioral therapy. The dialect is that there's a part that doesn't change that you totally accept, and there's part that is totally committed to change. So that's the dialectic. But that's built into the Golden Hour, because you're doing some grounding of yourself in what is with the mindfulness, while then deliberately using the reframe to think of how can I grow the most in this task, and then using that to concretely challenge yourself step by step through the task.
Yeah. So I guess with the Golden Hour, there's this one big dimension of it, which is personal growth and development, kind of growing in all these different qualities in each hour of work. And then maybe that's like one side of the coin. And then the flip side is approaching your work in new and better ways, So developing creative strategies so that you can get more traction and do the work better. So I wonder if you could just speak to the relationship between those two, you know, sides of the coin, I guess.
Yeah. So in a way, what we're talking about is approaching your work by first strategizing clearly in your mind, what's the goal you're trying to attain? And then what are the steps you're taking to get there? So not all work allows for steps. We can talk about that later. But you always need some goal that you're going to be strategizing attaining in this next period. And it could be anything. It could be even home with family, an hour spent with your family. But what's the goal you're going to use? So you need the right kind of goal to form. You know, that's like part of strategizing, is coming up with the right goal. So you know a good strategy has to have the best goal and then the best steps to attain it. Or at least that's what it's working towards, because you can't be perfectly best. Well, the idea then is, what is the right goal for a time of work? Is it something that's in the work itself? A quality that's in the work? So that the work be, I don't know, if you're giving a presentation, that it be encouraging, that it have a great sense of clarity to it, that's compelling. Yes, you can think of it that way. You know, by thinking of how do you want to shape your work? What do you want the work to be like? But really, it's even more powerful when you're aiming for inside of yourself that what those same qualities. Because we become encouraging by producing encouraging work. We become more clear by producing clear work. Whatever quality you want to have in your work, you grow in yourself. So, and that's the difference between then aiming for a growth goal for yourself versus an outcome in the work. The important thing here is that the outcomes follow the process. The outcomes are not always completely in your control. Like, let's say you want to give a very encouraging presentation, but then half the audience doesn't speak your language and the translator didn't show up. Okay, so you're not going to be actually encouraging to them. But as long as you did what you could to truly, you know, put as much encouragement in, you actually became more encouraging by doing that. Or, you know, like by trying to really understand how to help someone that you're working with, that you become more understanding by doing that. So that's why process goals or growth goals, things in yourself that you aim for, are the gold mine. The other thing is that you get continual motivation then as your outcomes actually get closer and closer to it. As you get better at bringing these qualities into your work, you're growing in them inside yourself. That growth gives you a huge dopamine rush. You know, as you're making meaningful progress in your work, you get, and we call that enthusiasm. I think basically enthusiasm is like dopamine that you get from unattainable goals that you're making progress towards. So, and just to reduce it to something physical.
Great. So that's the goal element, is seeing that the ultimate purpose of the golden hour is growth in these higher qualities. And then we pair that with the strategy and steps element, which is now making it very practical and concrete for this hour of work. So it's not just that you go in with a kind of vague notion, but the steps and the strategy help to concretize it for what you're doing in the here and now, right?
And actually, I think the strategy is choosing the right goal and then the right steps towards it. So the strategy encompasses the goal and the steps. So it wouldn't be a right strategy if either of those was lacking. So once you have the right goal, then you need to find, okay, now how do I make sure I'm bringing it into the steps? Will these steps actually take me there? So that's another important element then of strategizing, is you're bringing the ideal into reality. That's such a crucial moment, right? That wouldn't it be a great thing if we had that ability all day long, the ability to catch the right ideal or the skill or whatever we want to grow in and bring it concretely into what we're doing. So, but it's interesting. I think that is really what drives every virtuous cycle. It's what drives all real growth. And so in that way, the golden hour is just bringing that process down concretely into your next hour of work, and then perhaps doing that a few times in the day.
Yeah, that's very okay. So the point there is that any personal growth that you do kind of in your life, if you want to grow in some quality, it's going to require that sense of clearly identifying the goal and then the strategy to bring it into reality. And so the goal now where you're always just practicing that process so that you're practicing.
Yeah, and I think that this is what, exactly. And this is how we grow toward, like, toward ideals. And ideals are these qualities that are inexhaustible, but you can make definite steps towards them. Day by day, you can be growing in how well you live them. If there's a day where you didn't really challenge yourself according to any ideal, that would be a day where you didn't really grow according to any ideal. Growth has to become real. It has to become concretized. So we could grow in a way that is just reactive to the stressors in life. So, okay, sometimes life demands more fortitude of us, or life demands more tranquility or more presence with our family or with loved ones. Okay, but do you really want to just be hoping that you'll respond in the best way reactively? Or do you want to come up with a proactive way of practicing this so that if not hour by hour, at least once a day, you deliberately do it? And that was the whole theory of growth that we had, that the golden hour was the method. Because without bringing something down to the level of what you're doing next, it doesn't ever become real. And then we could measure the growth people were doing or attaining by the inventory. And in fact, we could see that people that would do 3 or 4 golden hours a day had the fastest growth in the inventory. So they were learning to challenge themselves, and that got results.
So Kevin, I think just for to kind of clarify the process, as someone is starting a golden hour, suppose, I think we always recommend starting the day with a golden hour. Maybe you get into work and or you start studying in the library or whatever it is, kind of lay everything out, and then now you're ready to start a golden hour. So you're kind of starting your day with a sense of growth and ideals and service. So we talk about, okay, pick one task to work on, pick the end time. So how long is this golden hour going to be? And then we also talk about setting the perimeter. So kind of, you know, cleaning off your desk, closing unnecessary tabs and so forth to just keep your focus kind of on right on the work. Once all that is done, we've kind of like put this work on a pedestal. Now we're ready to give it our full attention. We talk about reframing mindfulness challenge, but then you also just introduced the idea of like goals, strategy, steps. So I wonder if we could, just for people, clarify the relationship between those two things.
Yeah, so I see the strategizing how you're going to grow in an hour inherently is the reframe. It's just the reframe brought to the level of work. Okay, so the reframe is, how do I widen the context of a challenge so that I can see in it an opportunity for growth? So that becomes then simply finding an ideal or some kind of growth goal you could set. It could be growing in expertise and knowledge of an area. It could be growing and building a skill set. So it's just some form of growth that has this like kind of more of an endless trajectory to it, where you can always grow more in it. Because inexhaustible goals are more powerful than exhaustible ones or things that you can attain. So it's not good, I think, going to be great to, I want to write this so well that I get an A from the teacher. You know, I think that's, because that's not in your control directly and it's not as motivating. So what's really deeply motivating in the end is these intangible things, these inexhaustible things. And that's why we always talk about ideals. Okay, so the ideal then is, if you've really come up with a good plan, you have this, you know, a strategy that includes the right goal and the right steps towards it, at least a believable series. Then what comes next, when it's actually time to sit down to work, you need to get your attention fully planted in the present moment. So we all have two halves of our attention. One operates in the background and is always thinking about what we do next. And then one operates in the foreground, attending to the here and now. And this is really where, you know, it's like having feet and walking with them. one foot has to be planted, you know, on the step you're on firmly, and then one has to be raising and getting ready for the next one. That's how you make progress. Well, the one that keeps you planted on the step you're on, that's task attention. That is what we turn on and activate with mindfulness. So mindfulness would be like firmly planting that step on the ground. What happens in the background then is your background processing, the default attention, is preparing what you're going to do next, is preparing the next step. So if it prepares it right, then you can walk in the right line. You know, you can climb up that mountain step by step. That one leg is moving forward, trying to get to the right next step. That's your default attention. And then that gets planted. And then you transfer all of your attention to that. And then you take another step. And that's how you progress through work step by step. So we always want to work in a series of steps. That's why if we can, it's great to lay it out, at least in the broad outline beforehand, so that you have a track for your attention to be going on. It makes it easier for your default attention to make the right guess. If your default attention makes the wrong guess, then you go off the path. That's a distraction, or distraction, as I like to say, because you lose traction by doing it. You lose the right traction on the right path. So this idea of traction is the same as focus. It's how engaged are you in the task? And you want 100% of your task attention to be deployable on the step you're on. That's why we want mindfulness often to be the first step. Because you can be mindful for a while, you know, even if it's only 30 seconds, but maybe better if it's 3 minutes. You are able to then be firmly planted, and then you can take that task attention and transfer it whole and entire to the first step of the task. And then you have more complete engagement. This is so real that you can measure what the brainwaves are doing. And there is this effect in your brainwaves when you lock your attention on something. That lock is established by mindfulness. And then it can be continued in work, provided you only do one thing at a time, sequential unitasking. You can maintain this locking of your brainwaves onto the task at hand. That's called theta locking or theta phase coupling. So there's a real thing. You really want to get your brain to a certain point in mindfulness, and then you transfer it to the task and do it through each task step by step, if the work allows for steps.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Okay, Kevin, I think this is a great overview of the golden hour. I wonder if we could just take the last few minutes that we have to kind of handle some frequently asked questions about practically applying the golden hour in one's day and what our thoughts there on the kind of best practices. So first, as I mentioned, like when to do the golden hour, and I think we both agree it's great to do it first hour of the day. I don't know if you have any additional mm-hmm. thoughts on that.
Yeah, and the strategizing part of it, thinking of the growth goal and the steps and how you'd like, that could really be done at any time. So you could prepare it on Optum Work if you're using the platform. You could turn that into a little project. And as a project, then you have the goal of what are the ways that you want to, how do you want to do this in a new and better way? Particularly, how do you want to grow yourself by doing this in a certain way? And then the steps that you're going to use. So that could be done at any time. The traction piece has to be done right before the task itself. So that right before you enter the task, you want to establish yourself in mindfulness. Bring your attention wholly into the present moment, at least for a few breaths, if not a few minutes. Slow the breath down. And it's about 4 seconds in, 1 second pause, 4 seconds out, 1 second pause. And to do that for at least a few breaths while feeling the sensation of the breath in your chest. That, I think we've experimented with in many ways, and there has been a lot of research on this. That is probably the most simple thing you can do to get your brain into a state where it's ready for focus. So, this is fortunately something that has been studied and is studyable. So then, you know, we often also make the point of trying to prevent interruptions if you can. Try to put your phone on do not disturb, set a perimeter, have a stop time. What those things allow is for your traction to get turned into eventually into momentum. And I think of momentum in an hour of work as being synonymous with flow. Flow where you can have your highest intelligence, your highest ability to synthesize information and to write and to understand. You have your highest IQ only when you're in flow. And that kind of flow is the result of sustained traction. Enough traction gives you momentum. And the traction is really the result of a good strategy. So the fruit of a strategy should be traction. And the fruit of traction should be momentum. And if not, if people are slipping in their attention and getting off task, then they need to go back to strategizing. Look again at the goal, look again at the steps, bring their attention momentarily into the present moment, and then relaunch.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And then I guess sometimes people might think, okay, their conditions at work don't allow them to do a golden hour or something like that. So I just want to see some kind of cases where, okay, it's not exactly the paradigm golden hour, but they can still make use of the principles to be growing and to turn that, whatever that is. So one is, okay, if you just have a bunch of small kind of items to do, like that have accumulated, that it's, you can do a golden hour with that or something like a golden hour. Are you thinking that it always has to be a kind of bigger
Absolutely.
Task?
The tasks don't have to be related to each other. Yeah, you know, so you can make up a golden hour of tasks that are each 5 minutes long or 10 minutes long or 15 minutes long. A step ideally is around 10 minutes, but give or take some. The idea is that you're going to do it sequentially. So as long as, now, for instance, like an email inbox, it's not that hard to do it sequentially. Just try to deal with each email fully before you do the next and think of what's the quality you want to bring to this, to reading it or to responding to it. And you can use them, you can, these little micro challenges. So anything that involves computer work or even any kind of housework, as long as you can have the presence of mind to think of how you could do this in a new and better way, to think of what quality you'd like to bring more into it, it just takes a moment. The other thing is that the more practice people get doing golden hours in more ideal circumstances, the easier it is to do them in less ideal circumstances. So it might be that there are parts of your job that just don't lend themselves easily. I could think of, like, say, a surgeon where part of his work is doing research and writing papers. And for that, it's easy for him to do a golden hour. And then part of it is actually doing trauma cases. Yeah, and then he would need to, well, he could still, while he's washing his hands, they have to wash their hands for, 30 seconds or a minute or whatever. It's been so long since I scrubbed in. But they had to wash their hands for a while, and they could still do that mindfully. And so there can be an element there. So people need to think a little bit strategically, and I just say, because I'm thinking of patients that I have, with a little bit of strategic planning, they can unlock these moments where, okay, there is built into this, something I have to do. And that could be done more as like the mindfulness practice. And then they're ready to launch into the task. Now, the real key, I think, to keeping up momentum is that there's a sense in which you're continually challenging yourself throughout the length of the task. So sustaining the inward challenge, the inner sense of challenge throughout the task, that is the best guarantee then of getting momentum and going into flow.
Yeah, that's a great point, that it's good to start with this image of what a good golden hour looks like, that it's an hour where you're continually challenging yourself, or a time of work where you're continually challenging yourself to grow according to your highest ideals. And then in terms of the preparation for the golden hour, you're thinking, what do I need to do to get to that point? And if you find, hey, I'm already pretty mindful, maybe it's just a couple breaths, like you said. If you find you're very distracted, maybe you need to do more mindfulness. If you already came up with a goal, strategy, and steps beforehand, obviously you don't need to do that again. So, and that's another question I had, which is, I think sometimes people wonder, like, okay, do I need to go through these steps 5 times a day as I prepare different golden hours? Or is it sometimes just enough to do the first golden hour very deliberately, and then subsequent hours, maybe I'm doing just more, okay, I take a break before doing my next task? Or is it good for people to repeat these steps every single time they sit down to do a task?
Yeah, and that's where really people need to be their own experts on what works best for them. We have a general approach that I think can work for anyone. And that general approach just means, how aware are you of the growth opportunities your life is giving you moment to moment? How can you get yourself to be more aware of those growth opportunities? So maybe people can't like pause and do 3 minutes of mindfulness, but I bet that they could walk a little more slowly and recollectively through the grocery store aisles. That there's ways that they can bring in slowing down slightly. And if you can't feel like you can do like the whole hour, you know, by bringing some your high ideal into an hour and having steps that do that, well, then just think of like, take your highest ideals and try to put them into your smallest actions. Like, so the way you, I don't know, the way you set the table. So, you know, like what would be the highest ideals you could put into that? Or the way you do some small thing at work, you know, that you reply to some email with the simple thanks. The smallest actions are capable of holding your highest ideals. With a little bit of practice, you learn how to do it. That's the essence of it, even if it's, you're not doing officially a golden hour. But you're still slowing down enough to think of bringing a high ideal like love and service into your smallest action. And if you could deliberately reproduce that several times a day, I think you'd make fantastic growth. So, but the golden hour is just one programmed way of trying to do it in a little more deliberately. But then ideally, people are doing it more or less constantly. I do think you can get to the point then of vital engagement where your highest ideals are inspiring your smallest actions and there's all throughout the day. And you're living with an inspired level of flow inspired actually by ideals. That's what vital engagement is, and that's possible. All that it takes is having ideals that you can bring into small actions. Yeah.
Wonderful, Kevin. Well, I think, you know, we've done a great job clarifying this for people. So we're basically out of time. Just to give a quick plug here that the Golden Hour is a way of making all of OptimWorks, all of our approach very concrete so that you're bringing your ideals into all your actions. And then, you know, in the Golden Hour into this particular task, this hour, we even made it more concrete for you so that you can actually go to OptimWork.com. If you don't already have an account, you should make one. And then we have a program there, a tool, the Golden Hour tool, where we'll actually walk you through these steps. And we have different modes. So depending on the situation you're encountering, maybe dread or anxiety, it'll help you through that. Or also just building the basics of reframing mindfulness challenge, bringing ideals in. So there's all these different modes that will help you for different circumstances. So check that out too. That'll help you bring the practice more concretely into your life.
Great, Sharif. Thank you for your questions. And I think you and I both use the tool with some regularity, and it always does help.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Okay, Kevin, thanks so much for answering all my questions.
All right. Thanks for the questions, Sharif. Until next time.
All right. We'll be back next week. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you enjoyed our conversation and you're looking for more in-depth guidance, check out OptimWork.com, our platform of content, tools, and exercises that will help you thrive at work and beyond. See you next week.